So it's very deep in our culture, and especially when we move into therapy and work with ourselves, that we had to reach somewhere, that we had to get something, get hold of something, that we had to change something, that we had to reach somewhere. And it's so deep, this dual understanding that I'm here and I had to get somewhere else and I had to change something. And had to get rid of something. This duality is so, so deep. And the truth is totally different. The truth is that every experience is your own self taking form of something. So when we work with deep traumas, yeah, they're sitting in the psyche and blah, 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 blah. You're producing them the moment you are feeling them. You're projecting them out. You are... Every experience is a function of your true essence. And that's what I realized sitting so many years now, that I suddenly saw, but it's all myself. It's all my own essential nature that appears moment to moment. And after some days when I was struggling with doubt, I said to myself, oh, I didn't go into the struggle with the doubt, which is the way we have learned. How to get rid of it, how to understand it, how to be free of it. That is the way you are brought up. I start saying, oh, that which I truly am is now taking form of doubt. That which I truly am is now expressing itself as doubt. So you have all the time the essential nature, the absolute, the divine, whatever you call it, and you're one with that. You are that. And all, every moment it is expressing itself as an experience. But all these experiences are impermanent, unreal, dreamlike. The only thing that is real is you. But you appear as all your experiences. So try to remind you that it's not about getting somewhere or get rid of something or solve something or all this dualistic thinking we are brought up with. It's about starting understanding that everything is your enlightenment. Everything is an expression of your enlightenment that you are already. But you keep on forgetting it because you keep on projecting it out. It becomes a body when you're thinking about the body. It becomes another body when you are aware of another body. It's all you. All the time taking form. Of forms and names. That's what we call it, Maya, the veil, because all our experiences are a veil that we constantly produce to cover ourselves, to who we are. Can you understand that it's not about getting rid of something or reaching somewhere or finishing something, or it's all you? So we will do a Dharma talk with that today. That's why everything is your enlightenment, essentially. But it's seen as something else. Just like the dreamer dreams a dream. But the dream is also the dreamer, isn't it? When you have a dream in the night, it's the one in the bed that is projecting this whole fantastic dream. And when you open your eyes, wow. But it has again to do with that we look at ourselves so small. We see ourselves so small. Me, I cannot create all this. Wow, this me. Yes, you are boundless, you are fantastic, you're not a person. That's also a projection. When you're thinking about yourself as a person, this is that reality that takes form of a person. Now it starts again. But this is so radical. And especially the way we are brought up, We are a separate creation of the divine, a small thing, actually an ugly thing. We are born in sin. We are carrying all this bullshit with us, all this poison. And it's really let go of all this poison. It's all about manipulating people, controlling people. If you can get people to feel fear and inferior and bad, you can control them. And all the mystics that try to break through this, they got burned or killed the most terrible way. It's all ugly politics. I can't believe I still see people standing in front of the Pope there. My God, are we intelligent people or what are we? Idiots. Yeah. So we are producing this creation every moment. On and on and on it goes. So quickly. That we are not really aware. That's why when you become still, when you are not producing any experience, not even a thought, you are suddenly there. You are in the reality that is the mother of all things. Suddenly, but it needs you to be quiet, it needs you to be still, it needs you to be, stop it. Stop projecting. Stop producing thoughts. Stop producing feelings. Stop producing the world that you see with your senses. It's all yourself. Stop for a moment. That's the stop exercise also that came from Gurdjieff, from the Sufis, that Osho took over in the dynamic. That dynamic meditation is basically a Sufi meditation that he put Sufi things together. Stop! And it really is meant, literally, stop thinking also, not just the body. Ah! Wow! It's all myself. Not the personality, of course, but the true you that is one with the divine. Jesus says, me and my God is one. Who has understood that? The famous saying, it doesn't mean that there are two people. So every moment, that which you truly are producing all your experiences. So start understanding how ridiculous it is to start fighting with an experience. It's totally ridiculous. And a great trauma is coming up and you start fighting with it, you're just creating it. You just made it. And you cannot take it away. You can stop producing it or see that it's you making it. Then you will wake up. Every experience is a function of who you truly are. But that which you truly are, forget about bodies and personalities and all this, it's not something much more profound. It's the fourth dimension. You explode into the time and space when you create something. But actually, you are beyond time and space. You have never come and never gone. You don't belong to these categories. These are experiences. You don't belong there. But the little monkey mind cannot understand the fourth dimension. It cannot. You become quiet here. It's mystic. And the mind has a hard time with being quiet. Because it will try to understand it, so it stays in control. it's scared. The moment is not in control, it's scared. It needs to label things and conceptualize so it has kind of control over it. And that's just the way we function as persons, as people. Could you allow yourself for a moment just to open for that possibility that you are actually every moment creating your experiences effortlessly, effortlessly. So that's why all the mystics say, can you not just for one moment be still? Then you will understand everything. Not with your intellect, but you will know that you are the sole subject of everything. You are the creator itself. But it cannot be understood. You can write a book about it, but it's not enough. You must existentially feel it. That there is this shift in you from being an ego to be consciousness itself. Then you enter into a new journey. I said to people in India now that it's just been my birthday, the 9th of March. My birthday was the 9th of March, 95. Because the body is just an opportunity to be reborn. They come and go. Now there's a new body like we saw in the samsara circle. Hello. A new journey. As an opportunity to be really born spiritually. As they say in India, they call it twice born. You are awakened when you are twice born. Jivan Mukti, awakened while in the body. And then there's still a body here, and all this is still here. And you know inside that you're creating it every moment. It's very different. In the moment, it was most easy for me to stay in that realization when I was in the forest. Because there was something in the forest, the stillness, the life energy in the forest that helped me to see it more clearly. It was more difficult when I went into the middle of Copenhagen. It's more perverted. When we come back in nature and then the forest, there's something about more natural. I don't know. I use the forest always, also in my childhood, but also after this, so much. Walking in the forest, and I will just walk, and moment to moment, I will say that was the true land is now taking form of a tree. If I was aware of a tree. I would say that inside. And if I was suddenly then again aware of the body walking, I would say that which I truly am is now taking form of a body walking. Not my body, just the body walking. On and on and on. And then it comes. When you start working like that, then just like with the inquiry we did yesterday, the Cohen, about sinking, it suddenly comes. A shift. Ah, but there's no I, for God's sake. It's just another thought. So how can this thought investigate another thought? Becomes absurd. So this is very radical, and you have to change your ideas about how things are. And in the therapeutic world and in the psychological world, we go on with this duality. And we had to break it. So, there's nothing you need to get rid of. What you are producing is Maya, is a dream called the world. Here, now. It's only here, now. There's no past, no future. It's all imaginations that you imagine now. When you talk about the future or the past, it's arising form and name and imagination that you produce in this moment. There's no tomorrow, no past. There's only now. And you go on producing this now. Sometimes you call it past, sometimes you call it future. But they are created by the ego mind because the ego can only survive because there is a past. It cannot survive now. So the ego mind will keep on holding on to a past and a future. So you have time. The ego exists in time. It's one of the conditions for survival. So think about it. Give it a second thought. What? Oh my God, okay. No, there's nothing outside you. Or inside you, for that sake, that we have to change or get rid of or understand or realize, or it's a shift in consciousness, and then we become normal. We are not normal. Look at the world. Is it normal? Mad people everywhere. It's getting worse and worse. Kali Yuga, the Kali Yuga. People are getting further and further away from themselves. So, another way to see that there's nothing out there that I have to change, or there's nothing out there that has to be different, or I have to understood, or I have to blah, 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 blah. So another way to break that duality, it is this Dharma dog that you have also been doing that. How is it to experience oneness with this experience? How is it to experience oneness with this trauma? Normally the trauma arises here. And you are not aware that you are producing it. It's just suddenly there in your mind. And you say, oh, it should not be there. It feels like it's outside you, it's away from you. So a second way to deal with it is to try to come close to it. How is it experience oneness with this trauma, these deep, terrible feelings? And then you know it disappears. You start feeling better. Because there is no trauma. I showed you the two chairs yesterday. It's because you go into thinking about it. You don't experience the trauma. If you experience the trauma, it disappears. Because it's impermanent. It's a dream. It's an imagination. It's not there. And the first way you see that is that it's changing all the time. As you go deeper, it simply disappears. It's desires that makes all this real. It's the ego's desires that project constantly a reality, an ignorant reality that it wants to control or have or be. That's why when we come back from death, we come back with all these vasanas, as they call it in Sanskrit, unfulfilled desires. They create a new body. All these small viruses in your consciousness, when you come back, create a new body. But we don't understand that we are creating the body. We believe the body is outside. It was created by my parents. So come close to your experiences and they disappear. Because they are not. They are Maya. They are samsara. Or finally, as I've shown many times with associated inquiry, that whatever experience you dislike, try to relax into it. For instance, somebody comes up and sits in the chair and says, Nukuno, I have so much distrust, I cannot trust. And what will I ask the person then? If you don't go into distrust, what do you have to feel then? Distrust is a projection. It is a projection, but it's also a protection. What do you have to feel if you don't distrust? Vulnerability, openness. Then we relax into that and see the impermanence of that. And then you come and see it's also your enlightenment. All of it. But that's a tricky one. Or if people come up and say, why do I always go do this or do that? These are protections. Yeah. I told you the story so many times about the NLP prophet. What is his name?
Richard Bandler.
Richard Bandler, yeah. That was called to a psychiatric hospital because there was a person who claimed that he was Jesus. It's called a fixation. But you laugh, but all of our stuff is also fixations. This guy was totally, he believed he was Jesus. You believe you're a woman. And you believe that you're from Chile. It's the same fixations. Or your mother believes she's a Catholic. It's as much a fixation as believing you're Jesus. There's no difference. So Richard Bandler, he came to that hospital and with all these desperate professors, what to do. And he came with a measure tape and he went up to the man and started measuring him. And the man got uneasy and said, what are you doing? I'm measuring you because, you know, it's soon Friday. And you know what happened on Friday. So to be sure we had the right cross for you. So, and then he got really, to be a Jesus was not a protective way any longer. It started becoming dangerous. And when they came on Friday with two of these nurses dressed as soldiers, Roman soldiers, he starts screaming, I'm not Jesus. Who are you then? That's what they've been waiting for. All the professors, but who are you then? They could not get him out. Now he starts seeing that this appearance as Jesus was not a secure appearance anymore. Had to find another to hide behind. He had to find another dress of clothes, psychological dresses. The ego is a psychological dress. And you keep a certain image as long as it's protective. When it's not protecting you any longer, you will desperately try to find another. So if you work with people like having these kind of fixations, ideas, always question it like this. What would you have to feel if you don't go into that kind of image or dress? So we must come free of this duality. The whole world is living in duality. That's why the world is. always be aware when you create duality. And you will not find help in your TV or in your smartphone. Or maybe listening to Muji will help you, because he will say the same as I say, basically. Different ways, maybe. But what I mean is that we are all living in this collective hypnosis of duality. And we are confirming each other in it every moment, every time we open our mouth. So, we could work with this Dharma door, 2 and 2. We could do a little like we did yesterday, sit 2 and 2, and 1 could work with that which I truly am, is now taking form of this. Moment to moment. So you just notice what arises in your mind. And immediately you say, that which I truly am is now taking form of some chairs. Because that's what I see. That's what, how it is. That's what I truly am is now taking form of. Whatever arises moment to moment. You can laugh and cry, but go on, don't stop it. Say it. Say it loud to another person. And the other person will just be there for you. And you will be working. If it's B that is the client, then A will just be there and support it. So B doesn't stop or space away. And there's something in your mind all the time. A feeling, a thought, an experience. That's what I truly am is now taking form of a woman laying down with closed eyes. Yeah, I know it's weird, but you will slowly, slowly start feeling it's true. That's actually how it is. And that's what it means that we are one with the divine. Me and my God is one. That's what it means. When I read the Gospel of Thomas after this awakening, I could see that there are maybe 6 of the statesmen that are from Jesus. The rest is created by those who wrote the book. But maybe 6 statesmen. When you lift the stone, you will find me there. That's Jesus. There are a few of them. But they are not all his. I don't think so. When I was in Australia half a year ago, I was reading a very interesting book called Disappearance of the Universe. It was an American guy that woke up one night and suddenly there was 2 people standing in his room. One of them was the Doubting Thomas, materializing in his bedroom, and another person. And these 2 people start coming regularly with 1 or 2 months in between, saying very wise things, and this American guy started recording it. So it actually came out of this book, The Universe That Disappeared. And it's exactly the same as I say. There is no universe. And these 2 guys also said to this American guy, I don't remember his name, that true forgiveness is to see that there is no one to forgive, and nothing to forgive, and nobody to forgive. There is no other, and there is no me. How can there be any forgivingness? That is true forgivingness. To realize that there is no one to forgive, nothing to forgive, and nobody to forgive. That's the disappearance of the universe. The normal Christian understanding of forgivingness is such an ego trip. I forgive you. It's a very big book. And it was supporting the Course in Miracles a lot. The teaching in the Course in Miracles. So there, the two guys materializing there said that the Course in Miracles is really also the Jesus words. And that was channeled in the 70s by two psychiatrists from America, the Course in Miracles. It was a woman, I think it was basically her start having this voice, and a man writing it down, something like that.